Good morning and welcome to the Garden Show on CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines. I'm your host, Bruce Zimmerman. Now, if you'd like to text your gardening questions, you can do so at 226-241-8305. That's 226-241-8305. And text your gardening questions to me to be answered on the show here this morning. So, there you go. Good interactive. Now, it's been crazy. Up, down, warm, cold, snow, no snow. Snow starts, snow finishes. It has been another week of craziness. Now, I'm confused. Did the groundhog see a shadow? Are we got more snow or more winter? No. I think from what I generally, since none of them seem to, the groundhogs seem to agree, we're going to have a short winter. At least I hope so. Even though it's a crazy mild one, it's going to be an interesting one. So, again, a lot of your plant material that is very tender is not given a blanket of snow as insulation from sun, wind, and cold. So you may have a problem with that. There's not a lot of moisture around. You may start to see, getting towards spring, a little bit of burning on some of your more tender or exposed evergreens. So we'll watch for that. Not a lot you can do at this time of year, but we'll see what happens. Also, the animals, they don't seem to be having a hard time finding food. But I will say this. I've got an animal in my garden who thinks that the whole garden is his playground. And I haven't caught him yet, so I can't tell whether it's a squirrel or a skunk. But mainly it's on the edge of the garden, all the way around. It's always in the backyard, not the front yard. Don't know why. And they dig little holes. Now, I'm assuming, okay, that these are squirrels either looking for peanuts or are digging up old peanuts or trying to find the old peanuts that they've planted previously. The problem is this, there's too many holes, so I think they've got short-term memory here and can't seem to remember where the peanuts are. Now, I don't know who's feeding them the peanuts, but if I had my way, I'd give them a piece of my mind. Last thing you need to do is encourage an invasive species like the bushy-tailed rats that we seem to have an overabundance of in eastern Canada. That means they are not indigenous to anything east of the Rockies. West of the Rockies, it's the red squirrel. Okay? So, not the gray and the black or white or whatever color squirrels from Europe. So it's an invasive species. And please don't tell me they're cute. Okay? I have a problem with people who think that squirrels are cute. They're an invasive species and they are a problem. Okay? So don't go and encourage them. If you're moving squirrels, for some reason or other, you've trapped one, you cannot move an animal more than, I believe it's a mile from where you capture it. In most cases, this means it's going to find its way back home again, but that is the best way. So you can't go and move it a little farther than that. Okay? And if you need to, go for it and move them. And, of course, you know that nature abhors a vacuum, so if that's the case and there are no squirrels, the squirrels will move in because there's no competition. So, are you going to win this battle? No. Same thing with the opossums, or which, of course, are in another invasive species, and they breed like crazy. And I know in New Zealand, they go hunting for them, right? And they just shoot as many as they want, okay? No limitations, no size, no things. They just shoot them. But not a bad idea. Now, because it's, again, another invasive species that shouldn't be surviving this far north, but is and has adapted quite well. And hopefully we can do something about that as well. We seem to have a lot of problems with invasive species, so please think about it before you encourage any of them. They've been with us for a long time in North America, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. Simply because we seem to keep thinking that we can move a species from some part of the world to here and everything will be hunky-dory and everything is going to be fine. And, oh, do you remember Lithrum? Oh no, they're sterile until they cross with the others that aren't sterile and produce seeds that are endemic in the soil for 20 years. So disturb the soil, you get Lithrum coming up, right? Simply because you planted the sterile and there is a non-sterile Lithrum somewhere within about half a mile of the sterile ones, and the sterile ones end up producing seed, and again, endemic in the soil and in your garden for 20 years. So when we say don't, we mean don't. And I think it's important that people start to realize this. Did we get Asian longhorn beetle? How did we get emerald ash borer? The Chinese carp? The other species like squirrels, like half the earthworms that we've got here are an invasive species. The different kinds of animals, mammals, as I said, the opossums, okay. But there is the nutria coming as well. It's still in New York State, but more towards Pennsylvania, and nothing's stopping them, including the river. So when you get a herbivore deciding to totally run amok in your yard, you'll know that you've got nutria. And think of them as giant water rats, okay? John, I do mean giant, by the way. So think before you leap, and it's important that you realize that. Now, there are plants that are also invasive. So remember, Norway maple is often considered a, and all their varieties are considered a, an invasive species, and that is a problem. So you want to avoid all the Norway maple trees. And you know how many maple trees there are of that? Oh, there's tons. So, you know, you need to consider trying others. If you're going to try some of the others, let's say, since I've mentioned Norway maple, try planting something else. There's a Freeman's maple. It's fast-growing, deciduous, dense, broad-crowned. So it's often known as autumn blaze maple. So try that one. Hackberries, European beech, but only on good soil for the European beech. You can also consider the native red maples, sugar maples, bur oak, which is quite slow, by the way. Silver maples, well, I'm sorry, there's too many old silver maples that are too big coming down in wind, so I don't recommend that one. Okay. Ginkgo, and of course, the river birch, which, I'd go with the ginkgo before that, but because there's a lot of nice new species on ginkgo as well. So you want to avoid honeysuckle. Honeysuckle can be a real big problem. It does have a tendency to just spread like crazy. So you're looking at red berries that, you know, people think, oh, there's red berries and there's the pinky flowers and that's all great. But it has an extremely aggressive growth rate, heavy seeded, and loves to spread. Try planting red osier dogwood, which is the native one. Saskatoon berry, not bad. Silver buffalo berry, okay. But also try and plant witch hazel, as well as the beauty bush, so, and fotheringillia. Okay, so try a few of those. I'm Bruce Zimmerman. This is The Garden Show on CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. I'm Bruce Zimmerman. This is The Garden Show on CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines. Now, remember, you can text your gardening questions to us here live this morning at 226-241-8305. That's 226-241-8305. The Niagara Rhododendron Society is having its next meeting at February the 7th, 2 p.m. at Rittenhouse Hall, Vineland Research Station, Victoria Avenue, Vineland. And, of course, it's the life of a beekeeper? Yeah, a beekeeper with William Roman. So that's pretty good. Because, you know, bees are kind of important, aren't they? Mm-hmm. We rely on them for so much to pollinate. It's just incredible. The Niagara Falls Hort Society next meeting is Thursday, February the 11th at 7:30. The Niagara Falls Public Library, the LaMarche Room at 4848 Victoria Avenue in Niagara Falls. Teresa Forte is talking on the 2015 Niagara Falls Garden Walk. So there you go. Okay? Two great talks to get you through winter. Get out and enjoy and talk gardening with other gardeners. Now, the Ontario Seed Company. Now, Ontario Seed Company's been around a long time. I don't know how long. I just remember them from when even I was a boy. So, been around a long time. But the Ontario Seed Company is certified as an organic seed processor by the Center for Systems Integration, and which is a division of the Canadian Seed Institute. These are the people who regulate your seed that you end up getting and buying. So it's important that you realize that there is such an organization, and it's one of the reasons why you get such good quality seed. So usually what happens when you get a seed that's not very good, then you're going to find that with it, you're going to get better quality seed. Therefore, if your take is not good, you've done something wrong. It's your fault. Something's wrong with your environment, or let's be honest, you just didn't follow the instructions either in the catalog or on the seed package, etc., because they're all certified guaranteed germination seed at over 90% and only 1% weed seed. Canada number one seed, doesn't matter whether it's grass seed, wheat, or a lot of other plants than seeds that you actually go and purchase. Okay? So, here we go. Let's do some new varieties for Ontario Seed. They've got a number of them, so I'm going to run through them, because some of them I haven't grown, I have to admit. The one that I know I have not grown is Aspa Brock. Now, Aspa Brock is actually a hybrid. It's It's often known as baby broccoli. It is a cross between the Italian sprouting type and the Chinese type called Guylon, G-U-Y-L-O-N. And the plants themselves are going to be 2 feet tall. You remove some of the side shoots, but not all, so that they continue to produce side shoots and therefore give you longer harvesting. They will continue to produce little side shoots, which are picked and used like little broccoli, until the weather gets too hot. And so you're looking at 22 Celsius, 72 Fahrenheit during the day. As long as it's that or less, then this plant is going to do very well. Okay? So you can try that one. Something a little different. It's only 60 days, so not bad. Carrots. I always like carrots. Best cooked well in with a roast or in stews, soups. Okay, homemade soup with carrots in it. Yeah. They have three varieties that are new to them. And one is an heirloom. It is solar yellow. Now, it has green shoulders and it is yellow. It came out of the Middle East. It's been there forever and ever and ever. When you harvest it, the roots appear to be a dull yellow. And when they're peeled and cooked, they explode into a bright, sunny yellow. Medium sweet, shorter roots, about 7 inches, and about 3/4 of an inch across. So not bad, right? A little different. Atomic red is another one. Oh, by the way, solar yellow is 65 days, and atomic red is 70 days. The roots are pink while they're growing. After you cook them, they turn dark red. They're not the sweetest variety, but they're very flavorful. Lycopene is very rich in these particular plants, which means that it's very good for you as well. Not going to just give you better eyesight. Come on now. You don't believe that one, do you? And then there's one called Flyaway. Now, Flyaway was trying to make a come... maybe starting to make a comeback again. This one was around a long time ago. I would say at least a couple of decades, but not ever really caught on. This one is a fairly new, improved British variety. It is resistant to carrot fly rust. It's got that broad shoulder top. And it's sweet. It's sort of similar to a Nance, which is the shorter stubby one, as opposed to pointed. And it's about 8 inches long, and it's about 3/4 of an inch across. So, carrots a little different. Not bad. I grow them all, simply because you won't get them in the grocery store. That's the other advantage. I mean, you can get orange carrots in the grocery store all the time, right? All year round. So you might as well grow the real thing and fresh as well. So not a bad thing to try. There is a sweet corn, as I recall, that is available. Now, this one is new. It's a bicolor corn. It's a combination of 75% sweet and tender, creamy, sugar-enhanced, that's SE types, and 25% high sugar content with a longer harvest window of the super sweet SH2s. This means that it's a corn that is going to stay sweet and taste sweeter. That's good. Has to be isolated from other corns, obviously, which all of the ones like this have to be. So in other words, if they're not grown like this, then they revert back to, let's say, they get pollinated by the old Seneca chief. How's that for old? Then what happens is you don't get that sweetness and tenderness. So try that one. It's got good disease resistance, good husk cover, and 16 rows, 8 inch long, and really quite nice and sweet. And that's the important part. I mean, sweet corn has got to be sweet. That's why they put the word sweet in the front. I'm Bruce Zimmerman. This is the Open Line Garden Show on CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines. We'll be right back after these messages. And we're back. I'm Bruce Zimmerman. This is the Garden Show on CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines. Now, Ontario Seed does like to bring back the real good old stuff every once in a while. And that's one of the beauties of this one, is sometimes they actually have old varieties that have been brought back. And this particular one called Elsa Craig is an onion. Now, it's an old, old one. It's easy to grow. You start it outdoors in mid-April. And as you thin this, okay, you go and use them differently. First of all, you get them out there and you seed them about half an inch apart in rows, about 12 inches apart. Then you thin to 3 inches apart for cooking onions. And then at 3 inches apart for sweet Spanish type. So in other words, through the season, you can use these onions for different sizes and different things. It means that each package is going to do about a row of 20 feet long. And so you're not getting an excessive amount of seed. But it is an older variety that's been around a long time. It's an ancient plant. And guess what? Nothing wrong with it. So they brought it back. They also have a beet. Now, or I'm sorry, a radish. Radish, okay. This is a interesting one. It's an heirloom. It has yellow skin. This is really strange, isn't it? A radish that has yellow skin, wraps a crisp white interior. The soil has to be kept evenly moist, okay, during germination and while it's filling out in size. It's medium-sized, it's plum-shaped as a radish, and it actually is ready in less than a month. So basically, less than 30 days, you've got a radish that it's called Zelata, okay? Z-L-A-T-A, and it's a new, old heirloom. Been around a long time. So good things. Now, there is a Swiss char, I guess, variety, but it's more, this is an heirloom, and it's more looks and tastes like spinach. So, but to my way of thinking, every time I look at it, it looks more like a Swiss char. It's called Perpetual. It's a new heirloom, right? It's really a char type. The stems are thinner than you're used to. The leaves are exceptionally tender, smooth in shape, and similar to the true spinach in flavor. You harvest it all season long until first fall frost. So there's one that you might want to try and as things, because I always find the colored ones are a little, don't like the taste. The big ones, the big Ford Hook Giant, are probably the best ones, but to each his own. So you can try those, and that is called Perpetual. Well, it's, I guess it's a spinach, but they say it looks and tastes more like a Swiss char. Okay, now let's see what else have we got. You would think there'd be some new tomato varieties, but they haven't picked up any new tomato varieties, but they seem to be trying to get more and more of the different types that are heirlooms, etc. So be aware of that. They're going back again. Black Cherry was actually quite a good one. We had that one year. We keep trying them, but I still can't get an heirloom that I really do like. The Black Cherry is an indeterminate. That means it just keeps going. It's an 80-day plant. That means it's very late. It's a nut Russian heirloom. It has 1-inch deep mahogany brown fruit in an oval to round shape. It's a little different, right? When you see a dark, dark tomato, don't consider it ripe, okay? It doesn't mean that it's ripe just because it's suddenly all red, okay? They do have an organic beet. Now, this one is called Touchstone Gold. It's a vibrant orange-red exterior, nice little uniform root shape, and mild-tasting bright yellow flesh with very little zoning. It's a striking green tops. Special to beet with an eye-catching garden treat. So, yeah, I would say that, definitely. A beet that is sort of a orangey-red exterior, I should say, with a bright yellow flesh interior. My wife will probably want me to grow that one. I can see that now. The okra is going to be making a comeback. A lot of it is used in ethnic cooking, and there's a lot of research going into okra and varieties that are viable this far north. Now, the okra, the new one that Elmer's have got, which is part of the Ontario Seed Company, is an organic. So it is called Clemson. It's 57 days. It's an heirloom. It's 3 feet tall, dark green groove pods without spines, and that's important. And when you do plant this one, you have to soak the seeds overnight before you plant. So try that one. The other one is a mustard. Now, it's an heirloom. It has a mild Japanese mustard flavor. And it's more like fresh greens to go into salads and soups and stir fries. It's not a bad idea. Try that one. Just something a little different to give you a little sort of sharper taste in your mixes. You're probably getting it in your mixes now if you're buying commercial mixes. But we'll see. They have brought on the organic pepper jalapeno. Now, this is, of course, the famous jalapeno pepper. Good plants, sturdy, great for the garden, lots of sun, of course, and it likes to eat. So, lots of fertilizer, lots of organic matter in the soil. Or don't bother growing. Well, actually, you should do that for all peppers, but this one specifically mentions it. So, from Ontario Seed, take a look. It is definitely well worth it. You can order online at seeds at OSC, which is Ontario Seed, by the way, OSCseeds.com. And they have an order line, which is 519-886-0557. That's 519-886-0557. Okay, that's good. Now, I did have a question, and and it's called, how's this weather going to affect my grass? Okay, It's an interesting one in the fact that I can't read it from here. No. It's an interesting one from a listener. And how is it going to affect my grass this spring? Well, this is going to depend a lot on the type of grass. There are different types and varieties of grasses out there. The old blue grasses are going to be in really good shape with this. They have a tendency to grow in cool weather, so even though you've cut your lawn, the old blue grasses are going to actually be a little greener. They're going to be a little longer, and they're going to grow. But the newer bluegrass varieties are probably going to be a little greener, but they're not going, but not as green as the old Kentucky blues. And you're going to find that they're not going to be as long. They don't start quite as early, and they do a little better. The creeping fescues will burn a lot. This is normal for them. Since we don't have a lot of snow cover, we haven't had a lot of compaction, you're going to find there's going to be less, so far from what I can see, snow mold, both pink and black snow mold or gray mold, on our lawns, but they're going to be a little long, and this long is going to cause some thinning of the crowns, so you may have to be careful with that one wherever the compaction is. And but there's usually not that much because we haven't had that much snow to throw over off the driveways and sidewalks to cause the compaction. And with the continual melting and then snow and melting snow, it doesn't really adversely affect the grass at all. I think what you'll find is if we get an early spring with decent temperatures above 55 degrees Fahrenheit, and I'm talking about soils, not air temperatures, early, you may find that your grass is going to be cut earlier, fed earlier, and probably by June need to be watered more, depending on, of course, the weather. I'm Bruce Zimmerman. This is The Garden Show on CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines. We'll be right back. And we're back. I'm Bruce Zimmerman. This is The Garden Show on CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines. Now, invasive weeds. English ivy, believe it or not, is invasive weed, right? There are some states in the United States where it is illegal to even sell it. Now, remember that when you see it growing up trees, this is not good for the tree. The bark is the protection of the plant from wind, sun, diseases, insects. What English ivy does when it does that is it sinks its roots right into the bark. And of course, when it does that, it starts to break down the bark and also the tissue just underneath the bark, which feeds the tree. So not a good idea. Try a barren wart or fairy wings or coral bells as a substitute. Periwinkle. Yes, periwinkle. As many times as I've recommended it, I have it in my yard, which has never been planted. Somehow or other I got it. But it suits a purpose where it is. So I've left it. And it's been there for over 20 years, and it's not doing and getting out of hand. So we're okay. But it can get out of hand. Remember, you know, you are getting an evergreen ground cover that, of course, has periwinkle blue flowers. So if it's not bothering you, it's in a back area like mine is, works only as a ground cover, doesn't bother the other plants that are in there, go for it. But if it does, and it is, then you want to go and get some bearberry, all one word, bearberry, or some bunchberry. Okay, both are technically natives. Okay, and will actually work quite well in most gardens. Okay, watch out. You do have to get this one established, and some like more shade than sun, and that is actually a benefit. Now, goutweed, still being sold as a perennial, particularly the variegated one, it does revert to green on occasion, but even the variegated one is extremely aggressive. Root aggressive, seed aggressive, just spread aggressive every which way from Sunday. So, I had a station manager who thought they just planted it 2 weeks ago and told me they'd done this after spending a lot of time and money getting an interlock actually put down, and then went and put down this ground cover around one side of the edge of the patio. Result, I told them to get it out of there right away, that they were going to have to pull it all up and do it, or they could try Roundup, though it was slightly resistant to Roundup. This was many years ago. So what happened was they started pulling it up, the stones, and by gosh, by golly, within 2 weeks, the roots had already spread 18 inches to 2 feet out from where they planted it, underneath the stones. And they're going, thank you, because it would have been a real problem to get it out from under the stones. Wild ginger is an exception. Now, this is a native. And barren strawberry is another low spreader. They would be substitutes. There is European ginger with the evergreen shiny leaves, sort of heart-shaped. And you can use this one too, but you should be aware that it does seed itself and does come up in other gardens throughout your yard, mainly in the area where you originally planted it and downwind. Be aware of it. It is manageable, it is transferable, it's easy enough to dig up, pull out, etc. But also, it does have a tendency, being an evergreen, a broadleaf evergreen, by the way, to actually go and crowd out other things. If you're putting in miniature hostas or anything small like that, you don't want the two of them together. The European ginger could crowd out the slower, more dwarf hostas. Okay, the bigger, older, more aggressive hostas, not bad. But even there, you want to sort of keep them away so there's less competition for food and water. Flowering rush is one that is not great. This one is a margin aquatic plant. The cross sections of the stems are triangular. There is a slight corkscrew at the end. It's got the little flowers on it. They're small. They're pink. But it crowds out all the native plants. So it's flowering rush, and you want to get rid of it. Put in some sweet flag grass, which is a chorus. Some cardinal flower, which is really quite nice. It likes it. You should be aware that if you have small children, and I doubt that this is going to happen, if you eat it, then it is poisonous. But I don't know anyone who's ever eaten it, and the birds and any animals are smart enough to know better. It also, the cardinal flower, attracts butterflies and hummingbirds because generally it's a red-flowered plant as well, which does well in moist areas as well. So some of the plants that you should avoid and some of the plants that you can use as a substitute for invasive species. I did that one mainly because of the stupid nutria coming and because we seem to be feeding the bushy-tailed rats. I'm Bruce Zimmerman. This is The Garden Show on CFBU 103.7 FM, St. Catharines. Until next Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, have a great week in the garden.